Hi everyone. I'm going to talk to you about paired comparison experiments. I feel I should point out at this stage that other methods are available. People are talking about paired comparisons a lot today. So, despite the fact that there are other methods available, paired comparisons does seem to be the kind of go-to method for doing image preference assessments. By show of hands, who's carried out a paired comparison experiment in the room? Quite a few. Out of those who raised your hands, can you re-raise it if you are happy with the amount of participants you got? 4, 5. Okay, so it's a lot of effort to put together a paired comparison experiment. You've got to spend time designing your interface, setting up your viewing conditions, especially if you want them to be controlled. And you've got to recruit participants, which could take ages. You've got to schedule the appointments with participants, and possibly you've got to sit with them through the actual experiments. And as most of you put your hand up and then put it back down again will testify, it's got kind of a low return on investment in terms of the number of participants you get. So there exists a hypothesis that we can take the pair comparison paradigm, shove it onto the web, and we can try and get more participants that way. So, obviously, the advantage of this is hopefully we get a lot more participants or observers for our experiment. And hopefully at little cost, in theory, once we've set up our experiment, we can fire and forget it pretty much. But we have no control over our viewing conditions. People are going to be doing this through a web browser in their own homes, on their own machines. So we've got a lot of variance in the different viewing conditions. But maybe this variance will come out in the wash, right? Maybe we'll converge to a kind of mean observer, or a mean home observer. And maybe no control is a good thing. You know, this is data out in the wild. This is people at home viewing images on their machines as they would in the real world. So a kind of precedent for web-based research, I'm sure everyone in this room is familiar with Moroni's color naming experiment. He had over 1,000 participants in that. I think it's pretty good by anyone's measure. But if we consider kind of non-academic research as well, a guy called Randall Monroe, who some of you may know as the guy who does the XKCD webcomics, did a very similar experiment to Moroni. But he had over 200,000 participants. But both of these are both survey-based data collection, right? Show someone a block of color, give them a text box. The presentation doesn't really matter that much. But we're going to be looking at pair comparison experiments with tone mapping operators. This is just as an example. This is the example we use. It could be whatever image treatment you want to use. But the projector can show that, you know, if everyone's familiar with a tone mapping operator, we can see that there's one single scene there, 4 different tone mapping operators. They produce quite different results. And the presentation of these could matter. If you display these against some crazy background, people might end up preferring one over the other, which they wouldn't normally prefer. So this is our reference experiment. This is an existing web-based pair comparison experiment using HDR tone mapping operators. This is a website that was put together by a team at Nottingham in the UK. And Eugene May has actually put together this webpage. So we should actually be able to have a play with this. It's kind of reflowed because of the projector, but the two images would normally be displayed side by side. So you're presented with two images, a scene which is chosen at random, and the two tone mapping operators are chosen at random. And you're asked to click on the image you think is better, or you're given the cop-out option of it's hard to say. Who prefers the top image? And the bottom? It's hard to say. No one's participating. Okay, we'll say it's hard to say. Excellent. thank you, St. Clair. So we would have submitted some data there if it had worked. We're going to call this the web experiment going forward. We replicated this experiment in our lab with controlled conditions. We set it up to ISO standard. And we use exactly the same images as the web experiment. We literally copied them from their server, resized them, was the only difference we made, and we showed them to our observers. And our observers were from other research groups at our university, and they weren't aware of what we were trying to do. So we've got these two experiments. We've got a web-based experiment and a lab-based experiment. Both are comparing 13 different scenes and a bunch of different TMOs for each scene. And hopefully, we want to see the same rankings produced for all scenes between each experiment. So what do we see? This is just an aside. Normally for this kind of experiment, we'd kind of use a Thurstonian analysis. The guys at Nottingham, for whatever reason, chose not to, and they didn't make their original score data available, so we couldn't produce a Thurstonian analysis of it. So we're stuck with this method they called IQRI, which for a given treatment T, the score is the total number of votes cast for all comparisons involving T over the number of wins plus the number of draws or tie situations over 2. It's a bit of an odd scale. A lower score indicates a higher rank in this case. And there's a potential, if there's a unanimous decision, there's a division by 0 in there. Thankfully, that didn't happen for us. But and also, it's a score between 1 and the total number of votes cast. So these are the results we got. We compared the rankings from the web-based experiment and the lab-based experiment with the Kendall rank correlation coefficient, which basically counts position swaps between two sets of rankings. So it gives you a score between 1 and minus 1, 1 indicating perfect correlation, minus 1 indicating the inverse correlation, and 0 indicating no correlation at all. So on this table here, you can see that the value for tau is given, and where there's a significant correlation, I've given you a p-value. And we can see there's only 4 that are significantly similar, or significantly correlated, I should say. So what's going on? Why have we got this difference? Let's have a look at two of the scenes. We're going to look at the most highly correlated and the least correlated scenes, which are a synagogue and a clock building. So some of you are probably already aware of these images, but those who aren't, this is synagogue, this is clock building. And these are the rankings we get. So this is a parallel coordinate graph, and the rankings on the left of each plot are the ranks of the web experiment, and on the right, the ranks of the lab experiment. And as a kind of rule of thumb, where the two lines cross, that's more crossings indicates a worse correlation, right? So what could explain this? My hunch is that it's largely due to the context in which people are performing these comparisons. The question asked in the web experiment was, choose the image you think is better. Now, it's easy to see how that can be interpreted in several different ways. It could be choose the image you think looks more natural, choose the image you think has more artistic merit, choose the image you prefer to have on your wall. And we interviewed our participants, and a lot of them said, because they were doing the experiment in a lab, they interpreted it as choose the image you think is more natural, because they know the kind of thing we do in the lab. But if we look at HDR photography and the associated terminology online, we see that the phrase HDR has developed a bit of a scene online. So if we do a Flickr search for HDR photography, we see images like that and like that. And I see a few of you physically recoiling in horror at those. We can certainly say that these images are, some people must find these beautiful, right? Some people, they've certainly got artistic merit. But I think we can all agree that that's not how the scene naturally looked. But so web users are being primed to believe this is HDR photography. So they've got this preconception when they come along to the experiment. Another possible explanation, if we take into account score differences, as we have the score difference test, I think it's the Fisher score difference test, where I put this vertical line in between two tone mapping operators, that's where the two operators aren't significantly dissimilar. And so some people have used a terminology to say that they are not perceptually dissimilar. So if we accept that, we're saying that, for example, here, these two at the bottom. If we're saying we can't tell the difference between those two images, who cares if there's a rank position swap between them, right? And so, a few kind of personal criticisms of the web experiment. The presentation is a bit questionable. The images are displayed against quite a harsh yellow background. And it's easier to cheat, by which I mean, if you know how a web application works, you can quite easily go on and skew their results completely. I didn't, I promise. And they only, despite the premise of getting more observers by putting your experiment online, they only had a few. They only had 2,500 comparisons, not observers. So that works out as if every observer had completed every comparison, they only had 5 observers, which is less than we had in the lab. And due to the small number of observers, the authors probably skewed their results quite a bit, and I probably skewed their results quite a bit. So limitations of web-based studies in general. We've got uncalibrated conditions. We're never going to be able to fix that. Not for a long time, maybe. And there are applications like, is anyone aware of Flux? No one, excellent. Oh, it's a couple. So there are applications that will change the color temperature of your monitor throughout the day. The idea being that it's supposed to recreate the ambient illuminant in the room. They're often not very good, but still, they're changing the color temperature of your monitor during the day, which means if you visit this website and do the same comparison 2 times during the same day, you won't be seeing the same 2 images. And obviously, screen resolutions play a huge part. I mean, obviously, earlier on, we saw that because of the low resolution of this projector, the 2 images were displayed one on top of the other instead of side by side, which means that observers would have to scroll between the images to see the 2. So they're not making a direct comparison. There's a certain amount of memory involved there. So my kind of takeaway from this is, if you think you've got a lab-based pair comparison experiment, and you can just transplant it to the web and hope to have similar results but more participants, it's not going to be that easy. I think you'll find it's a bit more complicated than that. Moving your lab-based pair comparison experiment to the web is not a fire and forget exercise. You're probably not going to get similar results. With that in mind, though, this doesn't mean that the data gained from our web-based experiment isn't useful. If you're working on, say, a medical imaging application, it's reasonable to assume that your observers may be in some kind of controlled environment when they view your images. But most of us are working on algorithms or whatever for consumers. The environment that your product is going to be used in is at home, in people's homes, and probably on the internet. Does anyone know what the largest independent photographic library is? It's Facebook. That's the single largest photographic library. And I don't very often see people viewing their Facebook images in a lab. So with that in mind, also maybe no control is a good thing. With that in mind, we're launching our own web-based pair comparison experiment platform. This is a shameless plug for it. I'd appreciate it if some of you could go and have a visit and click around. I'd appreciate any feedback. And this is designed so that we can launch different pair comparison experiments onto this platform very quickly and easily. So we've got the TMO experiment here, but we can launch others very easily. And also, it's designed so we can A/B test the experiments themselves. So we can tweak various aspects of the interface and see how that changes the results as time goes on. In 3 months of 4 months now of Colourworld being online, we've had over 20,000 comparisons. That's 1,000 participants, and 67. It's actually higher than 67 now. People have signed up to the site, and that means they've given us more information than was originally asked for. So from these people, we've got their gender, their age group, this kind of thing. And the web experiment I was talking about earlier had roughly 2,500 comparisons in well over a year of running. And we're over 20,000 in 3 months. So here's some kind of preliminary results from our web-based platform. As you can see, this is on the left here is the chart I showed you earlier, and on the right is our results compared to the lab experiment. And you can see we've got an extra few scenes which are producing significantly correlated results. So let's have a look at a couple of those. Is that 5 minutes? Let's have a look at a couple of those. We're going to look at the first two, which are different. That's atrium night and indoor. See, these are more parallel coordinate graphs. The left-hand side of each one is what I showed you earlier on, and on the right, I've augmented it with our extra data. So again, the vertical bars are where we've got these TMOs that aren't perceptibly dissimilar. And if you look at where we have rank position swaps, we are largely within those. But the original web experiment has rank position swaps way outside of these boundaries. So we're doing something right. And you know, hopefully I'll be able to stand up here next year and tell you what that is. So thanks for your time, and I'll take any questions.
So how many subjects did you ended up having with the previous web-based experiment compared with the Colorware?
So the Nottingham's lab,
yes.
Web-based experiment.
Yeah.
So we don't know how many observers they had. We know how many observations were made. So they had 2,500 comparisons were made.
Okay.
But that could mean that, you know, 2.5 participants came on and one made one comparison, or it could mean that there were 10. We don't know.
Right. Okay. So you don't have a really detailed enough data set to compare the two.
No. So the ranks for the web-based data are from incomplete pair comparisons.
Right. Okay. But I mean, with your Colorware, you've collected a large enough complete data set.
Again, our lab-based experiment is complete. It's balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But our color war data is not balanced. So again, someone can come on and do one comparison or 100, and we'll use all of that data. The images are presented to observers to try and keep that as balanced as it can be.
You can you actually observe the trend of how your web-based experiment convey with your lab-based experiment by the number of subject and by the number of time to maybe decide what would be a good number of observers to use if you want to have a reliable web-based experiment? Because I would imagine with more and more observer you start to collect on the web, then the sort of uncontrolled, I mean,
yeah.
the unreliable statistic become more stable and more reliable at some point. But it would be interesting to know, like, at what point would that matter?
Yeah, so we can certainly do that. I mean, we can kind of, okay, we can kind of play back our results from Color War and observe kind of the ranks changing over time. To, you know, as you say, to find an optimal point. We haven't done that yet because Color War is still quite new and we'd like to have more participants. Those 20,000 participants, the comparisons that I showed you, aren't all for one experiment. We've got another couple running on there at the moment.
Thank you.
So we will do that.